This is OTB AM.
This Liverpool team are going to coast to a league title. Fair enough, that's a great achievement. But that Man United team were an all-time great because they weren't playing very well early in the season.
Does Everton have to happen in the same period of time, though? Did Liverpool not have those elements of that team?
They have to win the Champions League. They have to win the Champions League this year. But not if they're... To equal Manchester United's treble season, they have to win at least the Champions League in the league, right? And you could say that by not winning a cup, if they don't win a cup, then they're not... It's not as good a season. Man United are always going to be able to say, we won a treble. Did you win a treble? No.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7.30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I signed for them after the Euros, and after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it. What have I done?
Like I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is time for today's deal or no deal, and Will, you're the man who's going to have to rate these transfer tittle-tattle today to suggest whether or not there's actually any truth to them or not. Manchester United are set to grant Chris Smalling his wish of making a permanent transfer to Roma. TalkSport understand the main reason that they're happy to do this is because they want to sign, highly rated French youth international Dabot Upamecano. Seems quite ambitious on Manchester United's part. Andy Mitten earlier on saying he doesn't think it's going to happen in this transfer window. Could they get this move over the line?
It'd be a remarkable piece of business if they can do it, Ger. I mean, he was incredibly impressive with RB Leipzig. I take Daniel Harris's point from earlier in the week that you're looking at a pretty small sample size in terms of his last two seasons, and you're having to rate him a lot based on a few games that he's played in the Champions League this year. But he looks exactly what United need. If you could put him in alongside Harry Maguire, he would definitely help to mask some of the deficiencies about Maguire. Potentially, they'd be a better combination than the defenders they currently have, where Lindelof can't seem to gel properly beside Maguire because they're almost too similar, and Eric Bailly just can't stay fit. And there seems to be an acceptance that Chris Smalling going to Roma would be a good move for all parties. I thought Smalling was quite good in the few games I saw Roma play in the Europa League this season. Seems to have fitted quite well into playing in Serie A. I wondered when Smalling came back if he could have a future at Manchester United given the good year that he's had. But this would be an upgrade if they could get up a Mikenko in.
Yeah, because but wouldn't Smalling be an upgrade on Bailly? So, like, sell Bailly, send him out for loan this year, bring Smalling back. Like, I'm very surprised clubs don't do this a bit more, where in the middle of a career, somebody just wants a little bit of a change of scene. You give them the change of scene, you bring them back, and you go, okay, right, let's go again. Like, you know, life is not a straight line for their flesh and blood, as Graham Taylor used to tell us every Saturday.
I'm sure as well, Gerard, that Gareth Southgate would be delighted at the prospect of Maguire and Smalling being paired together at club level, because even at the international scene, England are yet to kind of find the right partner for Harry Maguire. Whether that's Tyrone Mings or not, we're not sure. Mings kind of had a drop-off in form in the second half of the season with Aston Villa, finished the season out reasonably okay when their defence improved after lockdown. But is Mings the long-term guy beside Harry Maguire, or could Chris Smalling come back into contention given how well he's played in Serie A in the season just gone? I think it wouldn't be the end of the world if Manchester United end up with Chris Smalling on their books, but they need to try and get rid of some of those centre-backs. It's remarkable to think that Marcus Rojo is still there burning up contract currently, and so is Phil Jones, and Phil Jones signed a contract extension just a couple of seasons ago. So I think they have to make a decision on that one, but if they can get that signing in from Leipzig, I think that will be a massive upgrade on their defence.
Andy Mitten said five or six need to go. Who are they? So Rojo's one.
Rojo's definitely one. I think Phil Jones, if they could get rid of him. They need to get rid of one of the three goalkeepers, whether that's putting them out on loan. I think Sergio Romero probably has to leave the club. Then you've got decisions to make on that midfield. Again, with, as we mentioned with Andy earlier, like with Van Beek or De Beek coming in, do you need Fred and Matic? Do you need Mata at the moment? Like, they seem to keep Mata around, and obviously he has experience, but I would wonder about how much football Mata is likely to play. They're going to have to make a decision on Pereira, how much he's going to be in the team or not in the team. I'm sure not too many United fans would cry if Jesse Lingard was to leave. He's useful for the homegrown in terms of registering your squads for Europe, but outside of that, Lingard is pretty pointless in this. I would imagine that Igalo leaves the club in January because they're surely looking for an upgrade upon that. So that's half a dozen players before it's we even start digging down to their squad. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you got eight or nine there. And look, Fred apparently has no intention of leaving Manchester United this summer, despite the imminent arrival of Donny van de Beek, according to reports. Are they going to have a few too many players in midfield, and who will actually miss out? Or do they all get to play a load of games?
Well, Solskjaer seems to like Fred quite a bit. Like, I would think if someone was going to leave between Fred and Matic, and I take the point that Fred obviously has more financial value if United were to selling him on, but United generally don't need a specified shielding player all that often in the games that they play. So I wonder if some kind of offer was to come in for Matic, if they would be more tempted to sell him than Fred, who's put in good performances, albeit as a kind of an all-action midfielder as opposed to being a purely defensive one in some of these big games. He's had big games against Liverpool, Man City. I think they'd probably like to keep Fred around, but the midfield obviously changes direction now that they brought in another box-to-box player, where Pogba's technically box-to-box, and I'd imagine that Fernandes will want to play up around the fringes of the box and try and support the attack. Look, maybe depth is what they need, but I wonder about the balance that they have in midfield at the moment.
I'm pretty sure Matic signed a new deal relatively recently as well. I'm just trying to check his contract. He signed an extension, and maybe it was just because he would have been free. Yeah, so he's there until the end of the 2023 season, at which point he'll be 34. So it looks like Matic might be the player that they play in all of their League Cup games, all of their FA Cup games, and, you know, 15% of league games. And then you kind of use the constellation of everybody else to make sure that you manage their minutes with some proper periodization.
Like Scott McTominay will come in there, Jared, to play some games if required in that position too. But, you know, they've obviously upgraded their midfield quite a bit, and they've been crying out to do that for quite some time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Chelsea, Kepa is reportedly set to stay and fight for his place, according to the Telegraph. Can there be any future for him at Chelsea? The snub in favour of Willy Caballero at the end of the season seemed pretty ominous.
Yeah, look, to be fair, Willy Caballero is nowhere near good enough for Chelsea. If Chelsea have aspirations of pushing on from being just inside the top four to trying to challenge Man City and Liverpool, Willy Caballero will make mistakes and he will cost them points and probably get them knocked out of a cup. The problem is that Kepa looks entirely shorn of confidence. He does not come out to claim the area around his box at all. I think that's been a big part of why they've had problems defending set pieces. I'm sure if Chelsea could, they would try and tempt Jan Oblak away from Atletico Madrid. But we are getting closer to the start of the Spanish season. Jan Oblak did admit after they were knocked out of the Champions League that he is considering his own future. He would probably cost somewhere in the region of what they had to pay Athletic to sign Kepa in the first place, around €80 million. But I think if Chelsea were to spend, and they're going to go over, say, the 300 mark, signing Oblak, if possible, to try and replace Kepa would be a huge move for them. I'm not sure exactly where Kepa goes.
Well, I don't know what you do with him. Do you send him on loan, pay half his wages, send him to Italy, send him back to Spain, hope that he gets some form, and then hope that you can, you know, quietly give him away for nothing at the end of that loan deal, or hope that somebody pays you $10 million for him and he takes some kind of... Like, what do you do when you have... This is the Alexis Sanchez situation, except... almost a bit worse, because you made such a big song and dance about this guy being somebody. Or do you try and, is it a reclamation project?
Yeah, the thing is, Jeff, where do you send him? Like, nearly all the top teams in Europe have really good goalkeepers currently. PSG, maybe of the very elite, might want to look to upgrade on Keylor Navas, but he's still a good keeper. Aside from that, all the super clubs have got top stoppers at the moment. Unless maybe you could use Kepa as some kind of make weight in the deal if you're going to sign Oblak. So send Kepa to Atletico as part of the deal. But I can't imagine any of the other Spanish teams, unless Athletic Bilbao, I would be interested in taking him back. I can't imagine any of the Spanish teams wanting to sign him. And it makes a very awkward situation. Same for David De Gea, who's been bang out of form. If, say, he was to lose his place at Manchester United to Henderson, they don't have too many places where they could send David De Gea out to. And it's remarkable to think, where Spain had just an embarrassment of riches in goalkeepers in recent times, their two only realistic choices to play in goal ahead of the Euros next year are Kepa and David De Gea, who are bang out of form and seem to be a little bit out of favour at their clubs too. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer seems to have a little bit more faith in David De Gea than Kepa has from Lampard currently. But both players, no guaranteed starters for their clubs in the current season.
No, you feel like De Gea has a short enough rope at Manchester United. This is a story that I just don't really fully understand. Paris Saint-Germain have made a bid of $25 million plus $5 million in add-ons for Hector Bellerin, with Munich, Bayern and Juventus also interested. He's only 25. His form, not as good at last season as it was when he was considered the best right back in the Premier League. But we've seen the price that Manchester City are paying on fullbacks. Every year they're buying a fullback for 60 million quid and he never gets in the team. Why is Hector Bellerin 25 million plus 5 million add-ons?
I'd be shocked if Arsenal sold him, Gerard, especially at that price, and even if the price was double that, because Arsenal aren't blessed for options over on the right-hand side. They had to play Suarez after the signing from Southampton at right-back. I know they've got some other players who are, like, say, midfielders that can convert. We'll see if Maitland-Niles is at the club at the end of this transfer window, with Leicester and Wolves potentially looking at him. You can play Callum Chambers over there. You can play guys that aren't natural, say, at right-back. Well, Bellerin is one of the few players that can actually add a little bit of width and stay down the touchline on the right-hand side. I'd be shocked if he went there. But it's PSG seem to be trying to go for a few bargain players this summer as opposed to be going for Galacticos to try and build on what they did and get into the Champions League final, because Memphis Depay is also being very heavily linked with them. That's a classic move. You sign the best player from one of your rivals and bring him in. But again, I'm not sure if Memphis Depay would be overly enthusiastic about the idea of probably having to rotate in and out of that PSG attack. He definitely wouldn't be a guaranteed starter, given that they've now gone with this system where Neymar and Mbappe could play at number 9 as opposed to playing out on the wings. So I'm not sure if they're going to happen, but maybe we're getting an insight with the players that PSG are being linked to, that they're not necessarily going for a massive transfer like, say, a Messi this transfer window.
The potential explanation for Hector Bellerin is that somebody like Atletico Madrid's Thomas Partey is keen, apparently, on a move to Arsenal, but Arsenal have to sell first to meet his £44.5 million sterling release clause. This is a story from Goal, so we'll see if that is part of the thinking. And who knows, maybe he just had a falling out with the manager, or maybe his face doesn't fit or whatever. One last Arsenal story for now. Al Nassr have offered Mesut Ozil €20 million to join the Saudi Arabian side, according to Fanatic in Turkey.
I get the impression, Jared, that Mesut Ozil is actually genuinely more than happy to sit on his contract at Arsenal and see this out. I think if he's going to leave the Emirates, he's going to be paid by Arsenal to go wherever he's going to go. I think he's going to look for some of that transfer before he leaves. I mean, going somewhere like Saudi Arabia or China or America appear to be the options for Mesut Ozil as opposed to being sold inside European football. I don't think there's too many big clubs in Europe who would be willing to pay him over £250,000 a week post-tax. And so as a result, you're probably looking at one of those clubs who are willing to spend funny money and give him the 30, 40 million euro a year that would be required to try and keep Mesut Ozil happy. Ozil has kind of stressed multiple times too. He's happy in London. He's happy enough to play a fortnight. Kind of loyalty works both ways on this one. When Arsenal signed him on that contract, they were shouting about the fact that they had tied down Mesut Ozil's future into his 30s. Then he falls out of favour. He'll say, look, I've got a contract with you guys. I'm more than happy to sit around and watch this one sit out. But the awful shame, because I was talking to Damien Delaney and Off the Ball about this a couple of weeks ago, is that Mesut Ozil is not playing first team football currently. Like, it's our loss that he's playing Fortnite as opposed to terrorising defences.
Yeah, I mean, maybe Arsenal could pay him most of the money and let him play for somebody else, and they pay some of the money, and it's better for Arsenal not having him stinking the joint up. Some other quick Premier League deals. Everton have agreed to sign James Rodriguez for a 3-year deal. Is this what Everton need? Another slightly flaky, past his prime, very expensive player?
I was just thinking, how does Gylfi Sigurdsson and James Rodriguez fit into the one team? This is a bit like when they signed Sigurdsson and Rooney at the same time. James Rodriguez is almost a symptom of what's happening with the likes of Barcelona and Real Madrid at the moment, Jer. They become a Galactico at some point and they're signed for a huge amount of money. They then fall out of favour at a big club and then they're not able to sell them on. So what happens is they almost end up loaning them out at fees like they did with James Rodriguez when he went to Bayern Munich for 2 seasons, like Coutinho did when he went to Bayern Munich from Barcelona, taking a small amount of that transfer fee back with the loan fees and then allowing them to run their contract down and leave. And I'm just not sure about James Rodriguez in terms of his just application in the last while. He was out of favour at Real Madrid for so much of this season and then got brought back in after the restart a little bit by Zinedine Zidane. He's played very little football in the last year, didn't do enough at Bayern Munich to convince them to sign him. He will be moving to Everton with a point to prove that he still has a little bit left. He's at that kind of 30 age now. He, on his day, James Rodriguez, we remember him at the 2014 World Cup. He was a remarkable talent at the time.
A long time ago.
it is a long time ago, and there's no real kind of recent evidence to indicate that he would go to the Premier League and light it up. And you could be stuck with a player on huge wages if you're Everton, who's not performing. And again, as you say, he's unlikely to put much of a shift in. But this is somewhere where Everton have looked to buy in the last years. You look at Andre Gomes going from Barcelona to there. They signed Lucas Digne. Everton are looking to try and get bargains from these clubs who just want to let these players go.
Juve want Barcelona and Uruguay forward Luis Suarez or Roma's Bosnian striker Edin Dzeko. Suarez 33, Dzeko 34. How much life, this is quick fire here, how much life does Luis Suarez have left in him? Is there anybody in the Premier League who could use him?
His legs look gone. I'm not sure the Premier League is the right place for him. Like, he really struggled with his mobility, even more so after this latest knee surgery. Juventus, I can't understand, Jared. They need a player who will run in their front three.
Unless they're getting rid of Ronaldo. This is a Ronaldo replacement.
Indeed, but even if they do get rid of Cristiano Ronaldo, they're still stuck with Gonzalo Higuain, who wasn't able to stretch defences for them in the Champions League this season. I'm shocked they're not building their team entirely around Dybala, who was the best player in Serie A last season. I would have thought they'd go for a more mobile striker, but all indications, you say, they're interested in Luis Suarez, who is likely to be allowed to go for free from Barcelona to Juventus if it were to happen, or Edin Dzeko, who I'd imagine Roma won't want massive money for. Maybe it's just a case of them having a backup striker, but Luis Suarez would be a very expensive backup striker if he was to come in. And still, I don't think Higuain is good enough to win in the Champions League. I think they need a younger and more versatile forward to come in.
Well, good stuff. Thanks much, very much for that. OTBM live in association with Gillette. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead.
I signed for them after the Euros. And after my first day's training, I was driving home. I was actually thinking,
regretting it.
What have I done? Like, I walked into a circus.
It's amazing, isn't it?
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.